Grace, mercy, and peace be to all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Neil Martin was a member of the British Parliament for over 20 years. Towards the end of his public ministry, he was asked to recall some of his favorite memories during his time of service. He often would talk about something that occurred really early on in his ministry, back when Lord Halisham was still the Lord Chancellor. Lord Halisham was a very imposing figure. He often would walk around in his full regalia of the uniform that he had to wear as the Lord Chancellor. And so a young Neil Martin was blessed with the opportunity to take some of his constituents on a tour around Westminster Palace. They were in love with seeing all of the ornate parts of the palace. But then as they turned a corner, there they ran smack dab into Lord Halisham, fully dressed in his very imposing uniform. The crowd was stunned to see him, and so they even took a step back, waiting to see what it is that their Lord Chancellor would tell them to do. The Lord Chancellor recognized the young member of the Parliament, and he wanted to impress the people by the fact that he knew his name. And so he looked at him and he said, "Neil." Of course, immediately every member of the tour got down on both knees to honor the command of their Lord Chancellor to kneel. Lord Halisham laughed at the misunderstanding that had occurred. We're certainly faced with many different commands in our lives, are we not? Whether you're an employee or a student trying to follow the code of conduct, or if you're a new driver trying to understand the rules of the road, or even if you're an unfortunate child who just happens to have to obey the rules of the household in all of its tyranny, we have to learn how to obey rules, don't we? It's the only way that we can survive and get along in our society. Today, this morning, we continue our sermon series entitled Encounters with Jesus. In today's encounter, we look at a rule that Jesus Christ himself commands us, a command that he gives all of his followers to obey, as Christians are to do in today's world. In John 13, verse 34, Jesus says these words. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another." Now, the fact that Jesus gives us a command to love, that's not really surprising. Love is a theme that's intertwined throughout both Old and New Testaments. But what is kind of interesting in this exchange is that Jesus calls this command to love new. But what exactly makes this command new? What is it that's special about this instance, special about this command to love, that qualifies it to make it worthy to being called something new, something that hasn't been spoken of before? Because numerous times Jesus told us to love, numerous times throughout the Bible, we are told as Christians and as followers of God to love. So what makes this any different than those other opportunities? And really, what's going on here in John chapter 13? This command to love, it comes at an interesting point in Jesus' ministry, an interesting point in the 13th chapter of John. If you look at John chapter 13, there's two instances, two references of betrayal by Christ's disciples, his closest friends. This chapter occurs during the Last Supper, when all of his disciples are gathered together. And so the first reference of betrayal is Jesus encourages Judas Iscariot to go out to finish his plans to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. The second reference of betrayal by one of his close friends is to Peter, when he notifies Peter that that very night he will deny him. That very night he will deny knowing him, he will deny following him, and he will even turn his back and not be there in Christ's darkest hour. Yet, tucked in between these two references of betrayal is this command from Christ to his disciples in that room to just love one another. Juxtaposed between these two acts, these two references of betrayal, this stands out even bolder. It's a very important command for his followers. But what makes it new? What makes it worthy of being followed? So let's take a look at some possibilities. Let's speculate at what makes this command new. Perhaps Jesus is giving us an 11th commandment. Perhaps Jesus is saying, "This is my last supper. I will soon be executed on the cross. My time is coming to an end as far as my earthly ministry is concerned." And so I'm going to give you a new command. All of those 10 commandments from before, those 10 commandments that were passed down to Moses from Mount Sinai, they were just too difficult to follow. So I'm going to give you an 11th commandment, one that amends the others, just focused on this one. You can't follow those, but simply, at least you could do this. And he says, guys, just love each other. Can you at least do that? But if you think about it, if you've ever tried to love somebody, especially someone that you want to love, let alone someone you despise, this command to love, it's not easy, is it? It's just as difficult, it proves just as challenging as the Ten Commandments that came before it. So I don't think he's giving us an amendment to the Ten Commandments here. So maybe this was just the Apostle John's way of adding his own golden rule. Perhaps he's echoing what he found in the books of Matthew, in the book of Luke, those books that came before his. And this is his way of inserting the golden rule. Do you remember what the golden rule is? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It sounds very similar to what he's saying here. Love one another, right? But if this is the case, if John is just echoing what he finds in Matthew and Luke, what makes that new? It's really not new, is it? It's something that all of the disciples would have already known. So I don't think he's just adding his own version of the golden rule here. So then perhaps he's just tying up loose ends. As mentioned before, his time in ministry here is coming to a close. He said what he had to say. He's done what he's had to do. And now he's going to find himself on the cross. And so perhaps Jesus is saying not to focus on the love part, but the one another part. Perhaps Jesus is saying, you know, I've come, I've done what I've had to do, and it's too late now. It's going to be over. I'm going to be executed. I'm moving on. And so the party is now closed. Those who heard me, those who believed in me, they are my followers, and you should just focus on them. You should just use your love for them and not worry about anyone else who doesn't profess Jesus as Lord. That doesn't really vibe with the God that we know, does it? It doesn't vibe with the God that Paul describes to 1 Timothy as the God who desires all men and all women to be saved. I mean, the very fact that we are sitting here in this room thousands of years later professing the name Jesus as Lord, thank God that it wasn't a closed group that night up there in that upper room. So unfortunately, I don't think we're any closer to finding the answer of what makes this command worthy of being called new. Perhaps instead of sitting here and speculating, maybe we should look once again at the text. Perhaps there's something in the text that we didn't fully examine, something that we may have left out from before. So I invite you to turn again to John 13, verse 34. And let's hear that command one more time. Christ says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you also must love one another." Did you catch it? We did forget something. There's something more to this command than we were speculating on earlier. The command isn't simply just love one another, but there's something that qualifies that love, something that describes what it is that love looks like. We are now being called to love exactly as Christ has first demonstrated his love for us. So the new part of this command is exactly what this love looks like. It's the extent, it's the definition of what this love means for his followers. This love is being entirely redefined by what Christ has already done for us in this room today and what he's about to do in the lives of those men who were there eating with him in his Last Supper. This command is worthy of being called new, not that we are called to love. The followers of Christ, the followers of God have always been called to love. It's been a mark of a Christian. It's been the mark of a follower of the true God from the very beginning. However, the very definition of such Christian love is about to be entirely redefined by Christ Jesus. Christ is not just saying, love your neighbor as yourself. He's not just saying, love your neighbor in a way that maybe they want to be treated. He's opening it up for more. He's saying, love in the exact way that I'm going to show you what love looks like. This love is defined as nothing less than the sacrificial and life-changing love that is found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yet now that we know who to model our love after, we must ask ourselves, just what does this love actually look like? Today is Confirmation Sunday. In the next service, we're going to have 13 eighth graders confirmed in their faith in this church. These eighth graders, they were baptized earlier in the life. They had sponsors who spoke on their behalf, and now they're going to stand in front of the church. They're going to thank those who spoke for them in the past, but this day they're going to speak for themselves in the faith that God has blessed them with. This moment in their lives follows 2 years of pretty intense training. We met for 2 years. We studied the Old Testament. We studied the New Testament, and we studied Martin Luther's Small Catechism. They had to memorize sections of the catechism. They had to memorize sections of the scriptures. They had to repeat these from memory. They had homework. They had discussion guides that they needed to do with their families and with each other. They've had to listen to numerous sermons and try to find the point of them, which was not always easy for some of them. They've also had to pick a confirmation verse. Pick a verse that helps guide them, not just now, but a promise of God that they can hold on to no matter where they go from here in their life. After picking a confirmation verse, they were challenged to write out a statement of faith. And then, the last hurdle, their least favorite part, they had to sit down in a one-on-one interview with me where I can ask them any question that I want to ask. Many of them dreaded that. Some of them even cried through it. But by the end, we were all smiling. I was amazed at their answers to my questions because I focused just one question. There's only one question that I asked each and every one of them, and that question truly defined the love that we're trying to find here today. That simple question is, who is Jesus and why does he matter? Think about that. Who is Jesus and why does he matter? In order to properly answer this question, each of these amazing young men and women began by telling me of the sacrificial love of Christ and how this love has earned them the precious gift of forgiveness and being united both with him and with all believers throughout all eternity. I was proud as each of these young men and women began to echo the words we hear in John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." These students claim that this Son freely gave up his own life so that we could receive his forgiveness and we could spend eternity united with him and all believers. Brothers and sisters, Christ is right in identifying this command as new. It is new because the depth of the love that we are called to live is being completely redefined by the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. This love is not one defined by treating our neighbors in a nice way, but this love is defined by completely putting our neighbors above ourselves in every way, even being willing to lose our lives in sacrifice for the need of our neighbor. This is a love of humility. It's a love of sacrifice. And often for the recent convert, it's a very terrifying type of love. On this earth, to live a life that is entirely dedicated to the loving service of another person, it's terrifying. Because any time we as sinners attempt to live out this sacrificial, this humiliating type of love outside of the love we find in God, we are always ripped apart. We will be taken advantage of, we will be abused, and in the end, we will be drained of everything that we could have ever hoped to have given to the other person. I know many of us have tried to live our lives giving this love apart from God, and many of us have the bruises to prove it. Only the bravest of us attempt to move on, to try to put this love in someone else, only to be broken again. Yet, brothers and sisters, as followers of Christ, we no longer need to be afraid to love. Christian love is something entirely different than the earthly love that has torn us apart in the past. Earthly love, it's limited, its source being our patience and our good intentions. When earthly love runs out, and it always does, we will find ourselves left broken and betrayed. Yet Christian love is very different. Christian love is not limited. Christian love is limitless. Its source is not from our limited selves, but the source of Christian love is continually poured out by the Creator of all things, our Father in heaven. This love is sacrificial, it's humbling, but it's also incredibly life-changing and eternally life-giving, both for the giver of this love and the receiver of this love. Jesus even gives the perfect definition of what it is that this love looks like just a few chapters later in John 15, when he says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends." This love of service, this love of sacrifice, is exactly what we are called to do as the very disciples of God. It's the exact love that filled the men in those rooms as each of them gave their lives over for the cause. As we conclude our reading of John 13, there is one more verse that we should look at. John 13, verse 35, speaks of the importance of obeying this love. Jesus says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Obedience to this command from Christ will, in fact, change the world over, as others will experience the eternal life-changing love of Christ and experience what it means to live defined by such sacrificial life. Their souls will be changed and their lives will be forever given to the Lord. As I strive to obey this new command in my own life, I'm constantly reminded of how different this command from Christ is from all other commands that this earth tries to put upon me. I'm also reminded of a story I once heard about a man who had this massive, ugly boulder in the front of his lawn. Tired of this eyesore, desperate to do something, the man, equipped with just a chisel and a hammer and no background experience, went out and attempted to turn this boulder into something different. His neighbors were shocked as this massive, ugly boulder soon was chipped away into a beautiful, majestic piece of art. It was a deer prancing freely. Neighbors would come and they'd look and they would marvel at such a simple man creating such a beautiful piece of art. Finally, one of his neighbors was bold enough to approach him and say, "How did you turn this massive, ugly stone into something so beautiful?" The man simply shrugged his shoulders and said, "Well, I just chipped away at everything that wasn't the deer." Brothers and sisters, I pray that as you seek to obey this new command to love in the way that Christ has demonstrated his love for us, as you find yourselves in your daily encounters with Christ Jesus, our Lord, I pray that you will allow him to chip away everything at your life that isn't obeying this command to love. This is most certainly true. Amen.